Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right, episode 7, the Fairway Fit Podcast. This is Brad. I've got Greg here back with us again. Greg, how are we doing?
Oh, we're doing much better now that we've fixed our sound quality and everything like that. So we're good to go.
Yeah, I know you've had some technical difficulties and it's something that we are working through. We have a very special episode. We have a first time episode. We are bringing on our first guest and we are going to talk about the Gents Cup. So episode 7, we are naming it the Gents Cup. I cannot wait. We're about, what, how long away we got? 4 weeks?
About 4 weeks. 4 weeks till go time.
4 weeks, and we are headed down to a huge golf tournament, and our golf trip, I should say. It is a little bit.
It's a tournament, too.
You're right. And we'll get into all this, and we are bringing on the commish.
Oh, the commish.
We're not going to talk too much here. We're going to get right to our interview. But, man, I can't wait. What else is going on at that Gents Cup?
What's that?
Major number 3.
Oh, the final, the turn of the tables time.
Yeah. I got a nice little 2-0 lead. And next time we will start talking about the details for major number 3.
I'm going to get off the snide on this one.
We'll see. I've been playing pretty well lately, so we'll see how it goes. But let's go ahead and take it right down to our interview and we'll get right at it. All right, Fairway Fit. We have Brian Matheny here. We call him AKA the Commish. As we've been talking about the Gents Cup, which is one of the big golf trips we have coming up here in about 5 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, 4 or 5 week time, we have had the luxury of bringing on Brian. Brian was a high school graduate, the same high school I was. We're alumni, a few years younger for me. And Greg, tell us how you know Brian.
I met Brian through a mutual friend, which was his cousins, John and Zach. I won't say last names, but shout out to them. Two great guys, and two great families coming together, so... Basically, I met Brian through them and known him for quite a long time. Never got to share the field with him, though, because he was at that rival school, but I won't hold that against him.
All right, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us basically how much golf has been a part of your life. And obviously, being an avid golfer, you probably have a handicap. And, man, we're going to dive right into the Gents Cup and figure out what goes on in that brain as you're trying to plan this thing out.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, so like you said, grew up Loudoun County, been here my whole life, went to middle school, high school, all the way up through a lot of family in the area. So that's what Greg said. That's how we know each other, through some cousins that went to his high school. Me and you, Brad, when I was a freshman, you were a senior, played baseball together.
Good
just all those
days.
Connections.
We were a lot better back then, I tell you that much.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was just at practice today with the doing coach pitch and they made me do some throws and stuff and yeah, the shoulders. But yeah, golf wise, I think I started probably like middle school, maybe end of elementary school, did some clinics over at Goose Creek, love that place. And then the big one, you guys either know or you will know, Uncle E on the cup, one of the captains, huge golfer, my uncle. So when I took those lessons, he's really the main reason I stuck with golf. I mean, that and Tiger Woods was coming up, so watching it on TV, but he's the one that really would take me out after the lessons and keep me going, of course. So that's the connection there.
It's funny, we all kind of circle back. My first time playing ever was in high school playing at Goose Creek. The first time Greg and I actually ever played golf together was at Goose Creek. And it sounds like you've got that same connection back there. It was a nice little course, little Ben Hogan set the course record there with a good old 59 or 58, whatever it may have been. Had to wear a hard hat on some of the back holes as you were getting hit by balls from the other holes. But
yeah,
definitely
that was the best
course
ever because you could actually play it.
You can't see it, but this picture over here is I had Goose Creek. Somebody, an artist, does like renderings off of Google Maps, and I had him do it up for me and my brother-in-law's 40th because we love the course so much. So he took a snapshot and created this big painting thing. So that's how much we love the course growing.
Dude, that's awesome. I never thought about doing something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
All right, Brian, one quick thing you forgot to answer there was how are you playing currently and what is your handicap?
Yeah, so my handicap is 8.1.
Oh, boy.
As of today. It is. It's not a good 8.1 because I've only played like twice in the calendar year. So there were some good rounds to end it last year that kind of are keeping it low.
Okay. But
I'm usually in that 8 to 10 range for the most part.
So I'm right there, right around with you. And I have learned that where we're sitting is like the worst handicap in the world to have, because you tell people what you are and then they think, oh, you're going to shoot in the 70s. And I'm like, no, I'm working hard to try to shoot in the 70s. And I very easily can shoot 90. Like they don't get it. And so when you give strokes, you're like, man, I need strokes. Where am I giving strokes up? And Greg knows for this because we argue about this constantly when we play.
I'm playing so bad, though. I need all the strokes I can get.
Right now, but you didn't do it through all last year. Greg played yesterday with us out at Stone Lee, where Brian and I both play most of our rounds at nowadays. And he experienced Stone Lee. He's been there twice this year, once in 40-mile-an-hour winds.
That sucked.
And yesterday ate him up a little bit.
Yeah, the winds can get crazy there, especially come through 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, at the top of the hill.
It's really bad.
I think we were hitting 7-iron in on 10 and coming up 30 yards short. That's how bad the wind was blowing that day we played.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, the handicap thing, it's a struggle because I did a lot of tournaments last year, and I guess a little bit the year before.
Okay.
And you're just stuck, like you're saying, you're stuck in that middle of, you're going to play somebody that's a 4 that's probably going to destroy me, because even though it's 4 strokes, he's legitimately going to shoot 76, where that's like maybe my best round of the year.
Yeah.
Getting up there. It's just, and then you get the guy that's 14 that's probably plays down to a 12 or a 10 and just gets me on the other side. So it's a very bad middle to be sitting. Been there for what feels like 5 years.
Yeah. So what Greg and I have come up with this year as part of all the other things we're trying to do is we have a little bit of a competition going on where I'm trying to get down to about a 3 handicap and Greg's trying to get into that single digit range. I think he has a chance a little bit better than I do, but we've definitely started off the years a little bit differently. I play a lot with him coaching and doing all that stuff. He hasn't had the opportunity. So
I've gone the opposite direction of my goal. So I've gained three strokes on my handicap rather than dropping them. So it's been a solid beginning to the season.
All right. The Gents Cup. This is something that I heard about probably about a year and a half ago. Greg really filled me in on what he was doing. And I could not actually go last year for other different reasons, even if I was invited. And I didn't really know too much about it. But when he told me he was going, I was like, oh, I know that guy. And then Greg filled in how big of a trip it was. Went down to Harrisonburg when Greg and I played. I know I'm really looking forward to it. I do appreciate the opportunity. Greg talks about it all the time, too. And this is something that we've had on the calendar for a long time. But tell us how the Gents Cup came about. Were golf trips something that you guys did regularly? And what got this started?
Yeah, so cut me off if it takes too long, but I talked a little bit at the beginning of my uncle who really got me into golf. So when I graduated James Madison in 06, one of my gifts was to go on his golf trip to Myrtle with his buddies. So they were all, at that point, 40s plus.
That's awesome.
And they had been going for multiple years. So I was the youngest by a lot, but I loved it. I'd been playing golf forever. So just that atmosphere going down there, I had never been down there. So I ended up going 3 years in a row with that group.
Okay.
At that point, got married, had some kids. I was 24, 25, already had a couple month old. So I was like, I can't go. Took a couple years off. But what it made me realize going with them those 3 years, I knew after the first year, the time I had just being a 22-year-old with a bunch of older guys, that I was like, I got to do this with. Sorry.
No problem.
I was like, I got to do this with some of my friends and start planning it because it's something I would love to do. So that's really where the beginning was. So 20 got through having the first couple kids and was like, I'm going to rip the bandaid off and do this. So got some friends together. I think the first few years were all 12 to 16 in the group.
Oh, wow. That's a big group.
Yeah. So I got lucky. My wife's friends that went to Centerville down in Fairfax,
okay,
they had a group that had been going a couple years while I wasn't ready to start it. And just talking to them over some drinks, they were like, we love it, but we hate planning it. People keep leaving. We go with five guys and it's annoying. So I was like, I've got 10 plus. Why don't we just combine and all do it all? So that's really where it started. Is I had a small group, plugged them into my small group, and kind of went from there.
So this is 2012 after
2012
a couple
was
years.
The start.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So it took a couple year break and then I started my in 2012.
There you go. So what did Gents Cup, where did Gents Cup from the name?
I think it was originally Gentleman's Cup.
Makes sense.
It's just been shortened over time. Like the cup you will actually see that we drink out of, it says Gentleman's on it. And that's survived all since 2012. It hasn't broken, knock on wood. I'm sure it will at some point. I even shipped it out to Oregon the one time we went. But yeah, it was always, I took what I learned from going with the older guys and said, so we threw some younger guy things in there. They weren't doing as much of the going out to dinner, going out drinking afterwards. We did a little bit more of the afterlife. But we also, it was fun. I would go with my uncle and they played a lot like a money games.
Okay.
Which was fun, but there was no connection outside of your foursome. It was whatever your foursome wants to do. There was no overarching organized game in theirs. It was, we're just going to go play, do whatever you want. Either people wouldn't do that or they would. So my whole thing going down was I needed to be some kind of competition. It's going back to all the sports days.
Makes sense.
Growing up, I need some kind of Ryder Cup. I can't just be like, oh, maybe this foursome is boring and they don't want to play for something. So those were the first early tweaks that I did compared to theirs.
Okay. So 2012, Gents Cup originated. Where was your first trip?
We went to Myrtlewood in South Carolina, Myrtle
okay.
Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of the first years, I think we did at least two of the first 3 years were Myrtlewood. Then we started alternating between Legends and Barefoot.
Okay.
Started stepping up at that point. But yeah.
So mainly Myrtle Beach area.
Yeah. We've only gone outside of Myrtle three, maybe four times.
Okay.
It was strictly okay. Myrtle for probably the first 8 years.
Yeah. I play a lot of golf in Myrtle. My dad lives actually in Barefoot. So I played all those courses. And then Greg and I, where did we go this past, geez, was it February?
It was late February, early March. No, wasn't it late March? No, first weekend of March.
Could have been. I think it was. We went down there. We did five rounds in about 3 days. So Myrtle's easy. There's so many courses to play
right.
down there.
Can't do
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, from the beginning, like, I always priced out other places, but for those first few years, we were all still fairly young. So
right.
the feedback I would get from guys that would come were like, let's keep that price where it is. And when you try to branch out from Myrtle, they win on price every time.
Yeah.
So we really didn't start branching out later in the cup like we've been doing the last couple of years.
Have you done it for 12 straight years? Is this the 12th year?
This will be the 13th.
13th. Oh, you started in 2012. Yeah. So this will be the 13th year straight.
Yes. We've done it every year. There was a lull. So 2017 and 2018, we got down to 8 golfers.
So it's always been more than 8 people.
Yeah. 8's the lowest we've gone with.
What's the biggest group?
Four weeks from now.
Yeah. So we're going down. All 32 players will be down there. We had a little kickoff the other day. We split ourselves. It sounds like we're two different teams. Uncle E, as you mentioned before, is a team. And then Chris is the other team. You and Chris, it seems like it's you and Chris are rounding that out. Greg and I both are on Uncle E's team. So
let's go.
Some rivalry there.
Yeah. We won't talk too much about that yet, but that's awesome. So out of the 13 years, this year we are headed down the Kings Mill Resort down in Williamsburg, Virginia. So you said you've been out of Myrtle 3 or 4 times. What is the best place that you've been so far?
Yeah, so what happened is when we got down to those 8 years, I actually thought about not doing it anymore because literally out of the 8, I think 2 of them were not related to me
okay.
at some point. But really what happened was everybody, I already had two kids. I had them at 24, 25, but then all my friends kept getting married, kept having kids. So like you talk, we're in year 6, 7. So like they just couldn't come. They couldn't make it happen. Like I missed those 3 years.
Right.
So it was just a perfect storm of people not coming. So what really saved it was 2019, I planned two trips at once. So the 19 trip to Myrtle, but Captain Chris, as you mentioned, my brother-in-law was turning 40 in 2022. So we were like, we got to go bucket list. We're going to go to Oregon. We're going to go to Bannon. So I had to, and you have to plan that so far in advance. Yeah. I pretty much was planning them concurrently. And then we got 16 people to go to Oregon. Now two dropped out because it ended up being COVID year. So two dropped out as we got closer to the date. We went late October of 2020, but we had 16 on the books, ended up with 14 in the middle of COVID flying across the country.
That's awesome.
And then pretty much since Bannon, I use that as like the kickoff point. I feel like it almost died. We went to Bannon, gone 20, 24, 28 to every kind of sense. It's just grown since then.
That's awesome. How was Bannon? Be honest.
Oh, it's the most amazing place on earth. It's Disney World for golfers.
It definitely looks it. I know Greg and I have talked about that trip, trying to figure it out. I have done a couple nice ones. I went about 15 years ago. I did the St. Andrews loop out there. My dad, my brother, and I went out. The weird thing about that, I was really the only one who played a lot of golf. So going out there was like, it was awesome for all of us, but for me, it hit a little bit different. And then actually this past fall, we did pretty much the similar trip. Unfortunately, this time we did not get on St. Andrews. We did not get in the ballot. So I played it the other time before, but we played everything around it. And now my brother's more of a golf junkie than I am. And my dad plays religiously now that he lives in Myrtle. So it was a big difference, but couldn't quite get Greg on that trip. Your younger ones are a little younger than mine. So I'm with you. I've passed that stage. They go up, play golf with me now. It's a little bit different as they get older, that they handle things a little bit better. But Bandit, if you go back, dude, sign me up. It's a heck of a trip.
Once we went in COVID, so I want to go back to see what it's like outside of that. They had us spread out a little bit when you're going out to eat and drink. But the service, courses speak for themselves.
Right.
But the service, once you're on campus, they have bat phones everywhere. You can just pick up and be like, I need to go to the range. They pick you up like 30 seconds later in a shuttle bus. Like, no matter what you want to do, you can get wherever you want to go. You're like, I'm running late for a tee time. The service was outstanding. It was crazy.
I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere, right?
No, there's nothing else to do.
Yes.
But all the
cabins and everything.
Yeah. Each clubhouse has their own restaurant. So you've got plenty to do, but outside of the resort, there's nothing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's definitely one on my list for sure. And if you ever want to head across the water, I definitely can help you out a little bit over there. That's something. My brother is living in London right now. So he actually has gone up into the Scotland area quite a bit and played the old course like a month ago with his daughter. And he's definitely the guy to talk to. He's learned the ins and outs where you don't have to use the big companies now. You can get over there and get on the courses. Oh,
nice. You'll have to talk to Uncle E down in Williamsburg because he's going in September. For his 65th, he's going with a small group.
It's
my mom, his wife, his son, who's not going on our trip, but normally does. And I think they're in that situation where they want to play the old course, but they're in limbo.
They changed the whole ballot system.
Okay.
I know you had to sleep out, not outside. And I'm telling you, I was going to do it our last night because we waited and we tried in the ballot every day. And then on the last day, when we found out we didn't, we still had two more days. And I was like, told my brother, I'm going to do it. It got down to 25 degrees. I would have been at 10 o'clock at night, the night before, I would have been number 18 in line. And they were telling us they only had 9 spots available the next day. So it was not like people had to fall off, not show up. It would have been because they had league play going on, which blows my mind, but it's just like any other course. I will tell you, St. Andrews is like Goose Creek over there. That's how they treat it. Like everyone plays it. The play is unbelievable. But man, there's nothing better when you walk that corner and you walk in and, oh my God, there's 18th green, one tee box, the R&A building, Old Tom Morris' golf shop, that whole row, and it's the hotel in the background. It's like I could sit there all day and watch golf.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's awesome.
Definitely, I'll fill him in. And my brother's actually made some connections with caddies, and that's going to help him get out, nice. get people out different times. So let's talk about the amount of effort you put in. It sounds like this isn't something you can plan out over the weekend. Obviously, I know Bandon's planned out probably 2, if not 3 years in advance, because I think you have to almost lock in 12 to 14 months out on tee times and everything. So let's talk about Kingsmill. What does something like this usually put on the commish? You're the commissioner. We all look at you to get everything situated, but what does this detail and how much work and why Kingsmill? Why was Williamsburg the winner this year for us to go to?
Yeah, so the work part of it, I probably couldn't answer you. It's a lot. You need to get Ashley with a drink or two in her to really probably figure that one out. She will tell you, we get back from Kingsmill on June 2nd, and I'll be opening 2025's spreadsheet on June 3rd. That's just the way it happens. It's just how my mind works. But I really got to that point over time. It's just the more I can do beforehand, the better time I have when I'm down. Because the first couple years, there was a year, I think it was 2014. So the third year, had two guys come to be like, I don't want to miss the trip, but I'm getting married. Can I make it my bachelor party? So I had double bachelor parties at the Champions Cup.
Whoa,
so
that's a lot.
We had 24 golfers and probably 8 to 10 non-golfers that just wanted to come and hang out. And at that point, I wasn't as good as organizing who's playing with who. So there were some mornings where it was just like, didn't get a lot of sleep, show up and people are like, who am I riding with? And I got a piece of paper out and I'm like, I don't know, just find a spot. Like, it was bad. So just over time, I've realized the more effort I can put in before, like once I get down there, it's, you guys know your tee times, where you're playing, who you're playing against. So I can just wake up and just be a player for my captain at that point. Because I also gave up the captaincy a while back. So tough for me because I'm always on Chris's team because he tended to always pick me. But I try to, when they're like making the matchups, I have to commission, be like, nope, that's not fair for team E. You need to trade somebody or figure it out. So I've moved myself into that position where it's, even though I'm playing, I need to make sure the teams are right. Cause really in the end, I want, as the commish, we're going down to Kingsmill. I want us all on Saturday sitting on 18, no matter who's in the last couple groups, but the cups still haven't been decided and we're all sitting. Waiting for them, sitting on the group.
I like it.
Cheering them on or yelling at them or booing or whatever we want to do. But we've had a couple that got so lopsided that it was like, it was decided before that. So I've been making some changes the last couple of years to move the teams around. So I sit in that level. But yeah, it takes a lot of time. But I don't mind it. I like doing it.
I like to hear that. I think me and you are a little bit more similar coming from my previous job running sporting events. And I think with Greg helping him run his events and seeing me at a higher level there, he knows, man, I was very detail oriented to the time. If you at the Gents Cup, you can actually have a good conversation with us about the time we were pretty much face to face. And it was about starting our event on time. And he didn't like what I wanted, but you know what? I was able to pull the shots there. We had a couple of slam door moments and behind the scenes moments in my office back when I was with the school with him. But get it. I'm not inviting myself again. Hopefully I'll have that invitation, but I'd be glad to help. I love doing stuff like that, planning things out. So talk a little bit about the format. I know Greg's got something here.
Let's go back to that issue. I don't think that if you can have a boss that you can scream and yell at, what's better than that? But how about format? Format of the Gents Cup, has it always been the same? Has it changed over time? What's the format for this year?
Yeah, so it's always been Ryder Cup based because I like the team aspect of the competition. So it's always had that feel. So it's always been either two-man teams or singles, however you get there. Now the way we've played it has completely morphed over time. the first couple of years, I was trying to get people's handicap, and I think I even printed out like a scorecard and said, did it myself, didn't even ask the courses, said, this is where you're getting a stroke. Literally did it all beforehand. Just was like so much. And then you find out somebody lied about their handicap or it was bluffed a little bit. So we've morphed it over time. Don't play as much as we used to. We used to go 36, 3 days in a row and probably playing on the travel day.
Getting a little bit older.
We're older now.
Yeah.
It gets a little much. But yeah, this year we're going to go with, we've merged into these. We love an afternoon two-man scramble, but two-man teams matched up against each other, especially on the 36-hole day, because you've already played in the morning, so let's ease it in with a scramble in the afternoon. And so we'll do that again on the first day.
Okay.
And then I think we'll go into a better ball too. And singles is always the last day, and that's probably been how we do the handicapping has changed, but singles has always been the last day pretty much from the.
So you match up how the quality of our handicap, like me and you could match up as we're both sitting right around an eight.
So previously, so this is new for 2024. So previously, beforehand, the captains would know what their handicaps were, and they then distribute what we call bullets. So yep. It's technically our Gents Cup handicap system. So you have your choice. Greg might get 10 bullets. He can use them whenever he wants, but he has to announce it. Huh. And it can be, depending on the format, so let's just say it's better ball. It can be, you can tee off from the forward most tee on that hole, but okay. You get no strokes, nothing else. You can just stroke. Say, I want a stroke on this hole. Or you can use a mulligan, but you can't use two on one hole. So if you say I'm stroking, you then can't use a mulligan. Or if you forward tee, you can't use a mulligan. So the mulligan okay. You can only use if you did not do anything on the tee.
Okay.
So the captains usually spread those around, which is still not final for 2024.
Okay.
But the matchups, I technically would leave up to them. And we would do it on the go. Which the last couple of years, when you get to 24, 28.
Yeah.
It was great at 16, but 24, 28, Greg knows, sitting on the deck in Harrisonburg, it took an hour and a half just to pick the matches. And then they got a little too much chasing points. So they'd put a single digit handicap against 20, just saying, I just want that point. So I've eliminated that aspect of it in 2024, hopefully, fingers crossed, where we are doing the matchups before. Mish is going to have to sign off and say, I agree okay. with that, because I want at least the singles, like you said, to be similar players and not just throwaways of one of our worst players versus one of our best players, because that's no fun for either. Best player doesn't get to play a great round. They're done in nine holes.
Right.
And worst player just gets...
Okay.
I think we're getting there.
Sounds like it's going to keep it interesting and maybe, like you said, have it come down to the backside of the last day there when singles play, at least.
Yeah, I hope.
Got to protect Tom.
Keep it a little bit more interesting as they're playing.
Yeah, and Kingsmill. Yeah, protect Tom. Got to protect my cousin Dan. A couple others on the higher end of the handicap spectrum. You don't want them to get boat raced by somebody and not have a good time. But yeah, Kingsmill, they're going to actually... Fingers crossed, helped us with live scoring, which we never did either. So we're stepping okay. up as best we can, hopefully through the Golf Genius kind of thing.
So now Kingsmill, and I think we talked the other day, they have three courses, but one we're not, it's not really on site, it's off site. So we're staying right away from that one. Less driving, the better, it sounds. And then you said, so it's 36 on day one, then 18-18 to round off the weekend. And what were the Plantation course and the river course? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we go river, plantation, and plantation river. River's the one that had the LPGA event forever. But yeah, Kingsmill, I've always wanted to go. I've actually never played there. I've stayed there multiple times doing other stuff with my kids, going to Busch Gardens and going to Williamsburg, but I've never swung the sticks on the courses. It's just, so I've always done it. But like we said, back in the day, I think it's a reasonable price, but if I had showed the price we're going to pay to 28-year-old friends, I don't think I would have got 32 people. They like to be in the three digits or less.
Yeah. No, one thing about what sounds like you're doing, though, if you mix in, you all went to Harrisonburg last year. Greg and I actually did a small trip. Gosh, this is probably pushing 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, with about eight of us. And that's when me and him really got into, dude, this golf trip is stuff's where it's at. I think we've both been on golf trips, but nothing like this. And by the time we were hitting Sunday, I think four people were still playing. They were just dropping off. So we were like, man, we need to figure out how to get people who are all in. We were all in. And I know that's when I think Greg's buddies knew what was going on with yours. And then, like I said, I'm able to tag along this year. So it's been a lot of fun. And that kind of leads to my next question. You're up to 32 people. You've been at eight. It sounds like it's a lot of family, which is awesome. What is some of the criteria that comes down to when you are selecting these participants and getting the invite and the waiting list and all this stuff that I've been hearing about?
The queue.
Yeah, so regrettably, the queue it's maybe more myth than reality, but it's there. But yeah, it's the growth we've seen post-Bannon. But again, this is why I love doing golf trips and probably what you're talking about with yours. We went to Harrisonburg and played in Muniz last year.
But they're good courses.
They're good courses. If you get the right group together, like that was my test last year because I knew we had started to build such a great group of golfers and friends and family that like if you put it to the test, we stayed in the same house.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And we went to Muniz and we drove to them and we played. And it was maybe the best time most of us have had in a long time. So it's really that getting that group together. But what it's allowed me is I was really close with Greg in high school. He was a great friend of one of my cousins. Then you go to college, people have kids. Like,
right.
Same thing with you. We were teammates.
Yeah. This
trip has brought a lot of people that I was previously close with back into kind of a core group, which has been the best part about it, really. And that's really what golf trips allow you to do. You look 100%. Forward to it all year. You're talking about it all year. And then in the middle of that, you're still finding out how your kid's doing. Like it's that connecting piece to all of it.
Yeah. I mean, golf trips, obviously you've been doing it for a long time. It's not always about the golf. It's just about the people and getting out and having a good time and getting away from the 9 to 5 and whatever it may be. And when we had our kickoff the other day, I did tell Greg yesterday when we were playing, it's almost for me, it felt like a little bit of a high school reunion. There's how many different people were connected to you that I didn't even know were connected to you that I knew in high school or even at my brother's age, because a couple guys were older than I was too. It's a big chunk of people that I'm stayed close friends, good or just good people to be around, it sounds like, and looking forward to it and looking forward to hopefully helping Uncle E to a victory.
Yeah. And the best part about it last year, my youngest cousin. If he watches this, he's going to be mad. He's mid-20s. I don't know exactly what it is. But we go all the way up to Uncle E, Mike Wilson, Mr. Schneider. They're all 60 plus. And it's that we got a 30, 40-year range. But we all get along, play some golf, have a couple drinks, some hamburgers and hot dogs. And last year we were watching the U.S. Open while it was on. That's really what it's all about.
No, definitely. Definitely. And I think that youngest cousin might have actually played for me
a long time ago.
So I can't wait to see him. I have a good story about him that I actually tell people all the time. I always bring that up. Before we get into kind of some things that we like to talk about on our podcast, what do you think the future of Gents Cup looks like? It sounds like you're in a pretty high spot right now. I don't see this being the final one. I see you having a vision for what it's going to look like in the future. Elaborate what you're thinking. What do you got in the queue of locations that you may be thinking about going to? Is it back to Myrtle a couple times before you go to something big? Or what you got planning for the future?
Yeah, I don't see it slowing down, that's for sure. So for your own knowledge, only I think it's two guys have ever been not invited back.
Okay.
Now, there have been plenty that just decide not to come back.
Okay.
But there's only been two that have not, just for multiple reasons. And if they watch this, they might know why. But only two. So that's where the problem comes in. Is I've got my younger cousin that Greg knows from high school coming this year. He's got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
You add him into the fold, it's 33 if everybody else can go. There's two other guys that normally come. So it's as much as I've always tried to cap the number, eventually it goes up. But at least for places, I think next year we'll still keep it. I got some ideas for some other local spots. Okay. Maybe keep the price down because 2026 is the 15 year.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need to get on a bird and go somewhere for that one. So,
oh, boy.
I think I'm going to warn everybody in Kings Mill. Okay, we'll do a good one next year, somewhere close. Save you some money, but 2026, we got to go somewhere. Don't know where yet. Bannon's always a possibility, of course. I loved it so much. But I get a lot of people talking about kind of the Scottsdale, Arizona area. I'm intrigued by the whole Wisconsin area with Sand Valley and everything up there. We got a guy comes every year that lives in Tampa, but I worry about how hot it gets if you wait too late, so that you might have to move the trip up if you want something in the Florida area. But yeah, those are probably the big ones. But yeah, I think 2026, we rip the Band-Aid off and go somewhere big.
Alabama's got the huge RTJ trail that runs through there. There is, if you really look into it, there are some outstanding golf courses in this country, and obviously other countries as well too, but not if you didn't want to leave the country. Indiana, French Lick, it's got something that's supposed to be incredible right off the IU campus. That is, it's talked about a lot on the internet and everything too. Dude, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and there's more and more that are either their own resort or clustered enough together, like the RTJ, where you can compete a little bit with Myrtle. Yeah, maybe the price is higher, but you're still getting courses, same.
Definitely. Maybe it starts to become a two-year, twice-a-year type event as well, too. Oh, one big one, one small one.
I got a couple guys that bug me about that. They said they want a spring and a fall.
Well, Greg and I
I got to keep the marriage together.
There you go. Greg and I, we like to travel. So we've done Myrtle. We've actually got something we're trying to maybe plan, head to Nashville and play a little bit in the fall as well, too. But it's nothing set in stone. As we're competing across this year, not only looking to drop our handicaps, we've added in what we call five majors, and we got a little bit of a bet going on as well, too. So we got who's going to improve their handicap. We're going to start a golf season. Obviously, we have summers a little bit more available. We're going to play weekly, kind of head-to-head who runs the season, and then our five majors will round out the kind of the golf series of a best of seven type things. And if you happen to play, what we saw was the turkey scramble one. You might see Greg and maybe Ricky Fowler all orange one day, or you might see him wearing a white jumpsuit as he's caddying for me in a scramble one day. So we've got some bets that we haven't quite solidified the end result, but not to toot my own horn, although I'm going to. I'm already up two in our majors this year.
Very confident.
Bet on the cup?
I don't know. Yeah, we were both very confident going in earlier on. We are trying to play either on the way down as a major or on the way back home as a major. We haven't settled it.
You're on the same team, but you could do a mini one of who gets more points.
We could.
Four available points for each of you.
There you go. So one thing about us, Brian, that we're trying to get into, talk a lot about the fitness side of golf. And our motto is we want to look good, feel good, and play good. We're taking care of two of those three things, and we're actually going to try to bring some stuff down to all the gents at the Gents Cup to hopefully for them to look good. Hopefully we bring our A game so we play good. And then I know Greg's going to hit on what we try to do as far as feeling good. Just so everybody knows, Greg's kind of having some technical difficulties tonight, but he's going to pop in here. He's been in and out. That's why you haven't heard too much from him, but we're going to see how he goes here. And he's got some questions for you. I think I know the answers and which direction he'll go, but I'd like to hear what you say.
Do you have a fitness regimen?
Short answer, no. Not really. I got four kids, job where I work from home. I really fluctuate I look in the mirror and say, man, that doesn't look good. Let's go try something new. But then I tend to give up on that, whether it's time I don't have or money I don't have or whatever it is. Currently, I have been trying CrossFit for the first time.
Nice.
I've been doing that for a month. I'm already looking at it going, once that 2 months trial is up, I don't know if I'm going to keep paying for this. So that's just the way my mind goes. So
how do you prepare for golf season then? Just the CrossFit or anything else?
No, in terms of fitness-wise, regrettably, not much else, if anything. It's more
get out there, swing the sticks.
Occasional range, some putting, maybe some tomato juice with some other stuff in it in the morning. That's usually my prep for a round.
Crack your fingers, touch your toes, and start whacking away there.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for the most part.
All right, solid. How about this? We'll finish off with this one before the back nine, but any advice for someone trying to plan their own golf trip or start a tournament with friends? What would be like your go-to key points?
Call me. No. It's going to sound corny, but if you're passionate about doing the trip with the right group of people, then that's going to be the first thing. Because if you're not really passionate about making it happen, you're going to get frustrated some way along the way. A lot of the people you deal with, it's annoying just to get prices and the whole steps of tee times. And then the other side of that, let alone dealing with the courses, it's then I go gather deposits. I go gather all this stuff. So if you're not passionate about making it happen, you're probably going to fumble it along the way. In the end, if you just stay organized with it and you're passionate about it, because what you got to think of is the end game. Like we've talked about a couple of times, like when we're all sitting on the deck Saturday night drinking out of the boot, like that's really what it's all about. So if you've got that in mind, then I think you can get there.
So I know deposits were due in January. I know you've been hunting down some people. Is everybody paid up?
We are. I haven't confirmed, but I believe we are fully paid up.
Okay.
The last couple I'll give excuses where I think the last couple on the list were late invites. Some folks we lost to injury or job things, but I think they still had about 2 months they were late at. So, yeah. They got in there though.
Dude, I know I can't wait. I know Greg can't wait. We talk about it all the time. We've actually started to try to prepare ourselves and we'll get you on that fitness regimen. I know Greg's creating some great videos and some information to get us out. Nice. One thing where we're actually meeting with somebody to talk a little bit about fitness on golf trips alone, because obviously it's a lot of golf in a short amount of time. If you don't go in somewhat prepared by day three, you're not playing your best golf. And so one reason why we started all this is not only to get on these golf trips, but it's to play our best golf on these golf trips. You don't want to go in there with the high hopes, shoot 100 and you're all frustrated and it makes you mad the rest of the day. And playing well is different for everybody. But that's something we'll get you going there. We're about 4 weeks out. We can definitely get you moving in the right direction for that.
I built in some sleeping time this year, Greg, so you can drag some of the 32 out somewhere on a run or anything else like you were doing last year up early in the morning.
Love it.
Yeah. Also, we really appreciate you having on. We're going to hit you with what we call the back nine. Obviously, you're being our first guest. You are our first guest here on the Fairway Fit podcast, so we are learning as we go, and we appreciate you having you on. But we got 9 questions as we're playing the backside, coming down the home stretch here. Some of them are quick hitters. Some of them we're going to have to elaborate a little bit on. But right. Some of them we're going to learn a little bit about you here real quickly. One you may have touched on already. Tell us about your favorite golf memory that you may have growing up. If it was at Goose Creek, just elaborate a little bit more, or if you have something else.
Yeah, probably because it's what we talked about. Actually played with my brother-in-law, my cousin, my good friend Kevin on the last day Goose Creek was open. We found out it was the last day, so we went out. So it was a little bittersweet, but that was a fun one. We filmed it, took some pictures, did some cool stuff. So that's probably the best one.
What kind of shape was it in?
I think it was literally New Year's Eve.
Oh, like, wow.
I think they were supposed to go through spring and the word got out that they were just shutting it down first of the year. So we snuck out there. It was a good New Year's Eve, but it wasn't in great shape. Some water in the bunker, stuff like that.
Okay. New Year's Eve, you're playing golf. It can't be too bad.
Yeah, it was fine. We weren't too bundled up.
Favorite golf course / golf trip? And if you could play one course in the world, which one?
Bannon. They have 5 amazing courses.
Yeah.
But to me, the namesake Bannon was my favorite. But the best part about that is my least favorite was Old MacDonald, was still probably my 5th best course I've ever played. And of course, I'd want to play, I think, really anywhere overseas in the UK. Yeah, just name it. That would be it, whether it's Ireland, Scotland. Anywhere over there, because I love the open. I love waking up at 3:30 in the morning to watch guys tee off in silence. when that's on in the summer. So
definitely different type of golf there. They just act differently around golf. It's just so proper, more etiquette, but like incredible. I know for me, that's an easy one. I'm headed to Augusta. I'm not leaving the States. I'm headed to Augusta.
And they're not letting me.
I don't know if I'm going to play. I'm good. So here's a good one. What is your go-to snack on the golf course?
Ooh. Probably like a Snickers if it's not seltzer.
That's a little not a seltzer. I like that. Definitely Milky Way. I don't know how you can give up a Milky Way over a Snickers, but okay. Okay.
I'm more so of a PB&J guy, but Snickers, solid choice. So sticking on food, all right? Hypothetical, you won the Masters Championship, right? And you get to plan the next year's Masters dinner. What's on your menu?
Greg, this answer is too easy. It's tendies and fries for sure. Can't go. That'd be if we went back to advice on the golf tour or planning one. No matter where you are in the world, you can't go wrong with tendies.
You head overseas, it might be fish and chips.
Yeah, you get a bad tendy, but you get a cheeseburger and your stomach starts doing something weird. Tendies usually keep you in good shape if you're in a bad spot.
Figured that was a soft toss. Right.
So we're 12 years old now. We're back at it.
Yeah, good lead in. We were at Legends, and they give you like free pitchers and lunch as part of the deal. That's why another reason Myrtle is unbeatable. Not that the lunch was great, but it's included in ground, so it is what it is. So the fourth day in a row, I order tendies and fries, and the waitress says, "Do you want toy with that today?"
That's funny.
Said, that's got funny. One. Sure. Yeah.
So, all right. If you could play a round of golf with a historical figure, who would it be and where are you playing?
I'd say Tiger.
I think all of us are in that generation. I mean, I know I started playing
Tiger's
for him.
The reason. It was Tiger and Uncle E are why I'm doing the cup right now. Tiger. And yeah, if he can get me on, then it's for sure Tiger. So.
There you go. I don't think that'd be anything better than that.
Yeah.
He may have to give me a couple shots, but we'll see.
You might be able to get him now.
I still probably don't.
He would need a couple shots.
He's still hitting it further than I am, that's for sure. It's true. And there's no carts there, so I don't know how you'd get around, but it'll be all right.
All right, we'll stick with it. It might be taking a skill from Tiger, but if you could take one skill from a pro golfer today, what would it be? And who would it be from? Take your time.
Yeah, I'll go Tiger, but it'd be his putting.
So we're talking early 2000s Tiger.
Yeah, when he, and I think he's still not that, but it ran really any pro golfer's putting. That's my weak spot. It goes way up and down. So I'd take almost any pro golfer's putting.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a hard time giving up Scottie Scheffler's ball striking. I don't think anyone ever remembers the putts you make, but they remember the shots when you stick it close. They may remember the 4-footer I miss or 3-putt, but
yeah,
I don't know. From 190, if you're sticking at the 4 feet constantly, that'd be something that'd be tough to give
That's
up.
True.
All right, go-to golf movie. When it's on, you got to sit down and watch it.
Tin Cup.
Without a doubt. I'm with you there. Maybe some Happy Gilmore mixed in there.
Happy Gilmore, I've seen it so many times, I might not stick with it. And on TV, it's not as good.
It's true.
Tin Cup pulls at the actual golf strings. Happy Gilmore just gave me a few laughs.
Yeah.
I hope they pull the second one off, though.
Yeah, I heard that. That'd be interesting. I actually was listening to a podcast that came out the morning with Carl Weathers on it, the morning he passed away. Rest in peace to Carl and Chubbs. But so it was crazy when that came out.
I pretty much am Tin Cup right now with all the swing aids that I'm trying to use in this point. But moving on, number 8 coming in. If you could change one rule in golf or add a rule in golf, what would it be?
Change would be, which we actually do at the Cup, every stake is red.
Okay.
I need to be dealing with white and yellow and what am I hitting my fourth shot. Yellow, you got to find a drop zone just for pace to play reasons. So you'll realize that when you come down, Brett. We play everything as red. Just
Yeah, that's actually not that uncommon now at VHSL level golf. A lot of courses have gone where everything is red and it's biggest pace of play. Just next door where we play, when I was coaching golf, I watched a kid on 15 take a 17 and it wasn't his first double digit of the day. It's a pace of play type thing for sure. All right, so this is our last question. This is probably the most important question that we have, and this is something that Greg and I debate about more than you all even know, because once you hear it, you're going to be like, why do you talk about that? But it does come up pretty much any time we have ever gone on vacation together. All right. Are you an original cheddar cheese or white cheddar cheese it guy?
It's got to be the original.
Yes. Wow. That's so disappointing. So disappointing. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, the podcast is over. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. It's got to be the original. Don't have my cousin Jay on here because that guy, I think all he eats is salmon and original Cheez-Its. So.
Okay. We'll chalk that first one up to you, Greg. We'll see how this goes. And I definitely think I'm going to take the long lead, but we'll figure that out. But the commish, man, it was a pleasure having you on. I know Greg and I can't wait. And I know Greg's still struggling with his mic a little bit here, but we can't wait to get going. And once you get ready, you want to get out swinging it before we go down there, let me know. I know we're available. We'll make it work. And man, we can't wait. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's going to be an awesome trip. We definitely got to get out there. I'm running out of time to get my game in line before the trip.
Yeah. Four or five weeks out. I can't wait. Yeah. Put in for my leave today. So I'm ready to go.
I love it. Yeah. We'll let you know. I think Uncle Lee's playing in the trip down round somewhere, so we'll hit up the text thread with something appropriate this time with just tee times and where we're going.
Yeah, so no, we're definitely look forward. Let's keep everyone listeners, make sure to check in. We're going to try to have some recordings down at the Gents Cup, and we'll go from there, and we'll see how we'll do. Hopefully Uncle E's team brings home the victory.
Let's go.
As the commish, I'll be fine with that.
All right, what a good interview with the commish. Everyone, thanks for listening. Send us a comment. Send us a question about the Gents Cup. If you have any questions, let us know down below. So go ahead and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.